Everybody well and safe and sound. Can't tell you how much we miss you all. And as I was telling Ethan this past week, I owe the elders an apology. I've been critical of not meeting, and my job takes me to all corners of this county, and I've never seen COVID worse. I was sitting in a preacher's study this past week, and he told me how 20 to 30 of his members have COVID, and some aren't doing well. So my hat's off to the elders. It's hard to admit you're wrong, but sometimes safety is the best policy. But I hope and pray all of you are safe and well, and we thank you for being with us this morning. Let's pray. Father, as you very well know, COVID has got a lot of us by the throat and has laid low many a congregation and many of your people. Father, we pray fervently that you help, that you send whatever assistance that you can to your people and to this nation and to this world, that we can get rid of this cursed COVID. Father, we thank you for the good things in our life. Father, thank you for letting us be here as a family once again to learn, study, and be lifted up by your word, Father. Father, be with our sick and be with those who are grieving. And again, Father, help us through this terrible pandemic and this blight that's on our nation and world right now. Help us, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It is indeed good to have you with us, joining us online, and a few folks here in the audience today as we study again from God's Word. It's good to have Jay with us, and he interestingly enough, came down with COVID. Went to visit a place at work. The fella had it. He came down with it, brought it home to his wife. She took care of him, and then she got it. And so now we're glad that they're both able and better. We're glad that folks are recovering from COVID. We'll talk more about some of our folks who are recovering in just a few moments. But we're glad you're with us. It's really interesting to be teaching a class and to see the students in the class sometimes just sort of their minds are wandering, they're not really paying close attention, and you kind of wonder, are they getting anything? I've learned how to catch their attention, though. I will say, hint, hint, that's going to be on the next test. And all of a sudden, they get out their notebooks, and they get their pens right, and they write down whatever I say, because it's going to be on the next test. It's interesting how we sometimes lose track of what really matters. And the danger is that we'll neglect what really matters. I read a little article by another preacher who was talking about Lance Armstrong. You may know Lance Armstrong as the great Tour de France bicycle champion. He did all of those wonderful things and won all of those things. The preacher said he had read in an article that he and his wife were divorcing. And he'd made a big deal that there was no other woman. And she'd made a big deal, there's no other man. And he said, I still love her. And she said, I still love him. But they were divorcing. And it was kind of strange. As she said, the reason I'm divorcing him is because he has no time for me. Isn't that interesting? He was so busy with fame and fortune, doing all of those things that really mattered, that he let his marriage go down the tubes. And so they no longer had anything in common, and she was divorcing him because of all of that. The preacher said he wondered how he would feel 25 years down the line. 25 years down the line, he's going to be all by himself without that wife, and he's going to be there all by himself because he didn't spend time with her. He was missing what really mattered. That loving marriage relationship, that wonderful gift. Taking for granted what we have is so serious, and our author is going to make a big deal of it. You'll remember in the last chapter, he made a big deal of the fact that Jesus is greater than the angels. And in a very real way, that's paving the way for what we're going to meet in this section that we'll be looking at this morning. Salvation has been proclaimed by the Lord, and it's a wonderful, grand thing, salvation. But unfortunately, these folks are in danger of losing that. I think, again, his audience are primarily Jewish folks who've become Christians, but they've been at it and they're facing persecution because of their faith. And the real danger is they're going to say, you know, if I just go back and be just a good old Jew again, maybe that's sufficient, because they're not seeing the significance of what's been done for them in Christ Jesus. So our text begins as follows. For this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard so that we will not drift away from it. For this reason, now that's pointing us back to the last chapter. For this reason is because Jesus is greater than the angels, he's better than the angels, because he's better than the angels, we need to pay closer attention to what we've heard. It's the message that we have heard that matters so much. We've heard this wonderful story of Jesus, and we've heard it a lot of times. Preachers have told it to us. Sunday school teachers have told us this story. We've heard the story over and over again. But the real danger is that we may drift away. I found this wonderful picture of a boat that's sort of drifting. It's really interesting because it's really a nautical term, and it's a nautical term of a boat that has no anchor, that is sort of hooked to the ground, that is down there at the bottom of the ocean, and it's not going to let the boat go wherever it wants to, wherever the waves are going to take it. It will drift dangerously past any kind of safe harbor. It's interesting because that whole idea of anchor is an idea that you get especially in the book of Hebrews, because when we get to chapter 6 and verse 19, he's going to talk about the hope that we have, which is an anchor of the soul. Here are folks who have lost their anchor. They've lost that hope. They've lost what it is that Jesus is. They've lost the significance of the story of Jesus. And that, I think, is significant. They're missing something. What a sad story. He goes on to say, for if the words spoken through angels had proved unalterable, and every transgression of disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? He said, you know what? The word that was spoken through angels, and really he's playing off of a very common Jewish idea. The Jews were convinced that when the Ten Commandments were given, the angels really gave them to good old Moses. And they're probably playing off of a couple of texts. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 22, and in Moses' kind of farewell speech, he will say, angels were with him at the right hand when the law was given. So angels are there. Stephen, when he preaches his sermon, you know, Stephen, the fellow who will be a martyr for his faith, he will say in Acts chapter 7, verse 38, Moses, with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai. And then later on in the same chapter, you received the law which was put into effect through angels. So angels may have been responsible for the law, and the law was unalterable. If you break the law, there's punishment that's going to be brought upon you. And you need to understand that. And if that's a severe punishment that's going to be brought on you if you neglect the law given by angels, what about this message that you have that's been given to us by Jesus? Don't you see how significant that is, folks? He's saying, how can you now neglect this message of Jesus and who he is and what he's done for us and all of that means? I don't understand that. You need to see the seriousness, the utmost seriousness of this claim that Jesus is making on you. How will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Here's another picture that I found that I thought was interesting. It's a picture of the cross. And the cross is this great salvation, so great a salvation. And the author thought this verse in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, our text today, was an appropriate one for his picture. I think it indeed is. The revelation delivered to us through the Son must be regarded with utmost seriousness. The message we receive through the Son just demonstrated that Jesus is greater than the angels. Now there's this contrast with the old law and the message we have in Jesus. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Salvation is an interesting metaphor. It's a metaphor for God's rescuing His people. It can be used for rescuing folks. They've been saved from their illness, from their bad health, and brought wholeness. But it also can be saved eternally with salvation that is ours in Christ Jesus. It's that new dimension, though, that he's focusing on. We have a God who speaks to us. And he's spoken to us in Jesus, and that message is so great. How can we escape? If those folks couldn't escape, if in the law you could literally be stoned for killing, be stoned, interestingly enough, for committing adultery, you see, it's pretty serious, right? And those commands are really deadly serious. If those are serious, now that Jesus has died for us, don't you think the stuff he's done for us is pretty serious too? How can you neglect that great salvation? It's a wonderful message. How can we escape? And it's a sort of rhetorical speech. The answer is, there is no escape. You can't escape. And that's the point. You cannot escape. It is so great. It is so grand. And he goes on to say, after it was first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. God also testifying with testifying with them, both by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by the gift of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. God has endorsed this message. He's given it his stamp of approval. It was spoken to us, and it was confirmed by those who heard. It was spoken to us by the Lord. The Lord himself told us this story. Jesus tells us the story, and it's been confirmed by those who heard. By the way, this is one of those verses that I'm convinced is a reason that Paul didn't write this book. If you're reading along in Galatians, Paul makes this big deal of, I got the message directly from Jesus, and nobody told it to me. So I don't think Paul's the author of this book, despite the fact that a lot of folks want to make Paul. But whoever he is, he's saying the message was confirmed to us by those who heard Jesus himself. And God gave evidence. God has testified that it's so. He's given us this testimony by signs. There are significant deeds. There are things that teach us something. That's John's favorite word, by the way, if you're reading in John's gospel. It's his favorite word for miracles. They are signs. They teach something. They show something. They are wonders because folks see it. They're going to say, oh, that's amazing. And they are mighty deeds. Various miracles, it's translated here. But it's literally mighty, powerful deeds. It's the word we get dynamite from. They're powerful. And then it's by gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's things the Holy Spirit has given folks that they're able to do. This time it's gifts, not it is the gift, the indwelling of the Spirit, by gifts of the Spirit. And they're all according to God's will. The purpose of that confirmation of the Christian message is that God has spoken to us definitely in Jesus, and you can't miss it, folks. You need to take the Bible pretty seriously. You need to take the New Testament pretty seriously. These folks aren't taking it seriously. They're in danger of going back and turning their back on what God has done in Jesus. And that's the real danger. God doesn't abandon His people. His Word is a continuing presence. And so we must cling to that Word that's been announced by His Son. We've got to hang on to it. I think we're living in a culture right now where we kind of feel neglected by God. You know, all of this terrible virus that's going around, and everybody's afraid of getting it, and folks get it, and some are getting over it, and it's just a terrible thing. But we get this terrible fear that God isn't with us. But He's with us, even in these terrible times. And we've got to cling to the word that's been announced through His Son. The possession of the gospel, the apostolic witness, the evidences that God's given us as token of His love, all of that is important. The preacher is confronting folks who are distraught and frightened, and they're his friends in the faith, and he's concerned about their fear. But he says, I don't want you to neglect this. Don't neglect so great a salvation. And I don't want you drifting as if you have no anchor, because you've got this anchor, which is the hope that is ours in Christ Jesus. Hang on, folks. Don't give up. It's a wonderful message. I have found the book of Hebrews really powerful. Right now I'm teaching the book of Hebrews at Ohio Valley University, and my students, I hope, are finding it as powerful as I'm finding it, because I think it's a wonderful book. It gives us hope, and it gives us a sense of peace that we wouldn't have otherwise. There are folks in danger of neglecting it and drifting away. Unfortunately, in the Lord's church, there are folks the same way. You know, they've claimed to be Christians all along, and they sort of are just letting things drift away. I think that's one of the real dangers of our not being able to assemble. You know, folks are getting used to sort of sitting and enjoying these sermons online, and they're not enjoying the kind of fellowship that we have with one another. But there's a real need for us to have one another and to be around one another. And hopefully we can be doing that again real shortly. I hope that's just around the corner. And now that some of us are getting our shots, Jenny and I got to have our second shot this week, and so we feel like at least we've gone that far. They tell us now that after 2 weeks, we will finally have some immunity from getting it. 2 weeks yet, but down the line. But again, it's one of those things where it will be so nice to see folks. And won't it be nice to give a hug again? To shake hands again? We can't shake hands. We can't give a hug. We can't, you know, that holy kiss has gone by the wayside for sure. But again, it's something that we are looking forward to. May God bless us as we strive to be His people. We're going to sing a closing song, and if there's some way that you need to respond to that and we can help you in responding, do let us know here at the 36th Street Church. Respond to us, and we'll be happy to help you in any way we can. If you need special prayers, drop us a line. We'll make sure we put you on our prayer list. If you've come to believe who Jesus is and you want to be baptized, we'd be happy to assist you in doing that. We have the water ready all the time, and we're ready to do that if you need to respond. But I want you to think about those things as we sing this closing song. There we go. Let me share just a few announcements with you. First of all, with some of our sick folks. Terry Lamp is having heart problems. She'll be undergoing a stress test on Thursday, and so please keep her in your prayers. We have several folks who are recovering from COVID. Don Bibby, Edna Kane, Geneva Crum, Rose Hose, who is Sarah Schumann's sister, and she had a fall this week. She's been recovering from COVID but had a fall, and so we need to keep her in our prayers. James and Dolores King, he'd recovered from the COVID but now has had a heart attack, and she's also in Belpre Landing. She's recovering from pneumonia. We also want to keep Charles Sams in our prayers. I think he's going through very difficult problems with his health right now. Taking a negative turn, I think, this last week especially, and so please keep him in your prayers. He's under hospice care at home, but is having difficulty, I think, maybe even swallowing now. So please keep him in your prayers as well. I want to remind elders and deacons that we have an elders and deacons meeting on Zoom on February the 1st. That's tomorrow, and so we'll do that at 7 o'clock tomorrow, so please keep that in mind. And remember that March the 7th, Lord willing, we'll be meeting in person again. We're going to try by then. Hopefully enough folks will have had it or will have shots that by then we'll be a bit beyond that. And so hopefully we can do that. And that's another, you know, a month away. So hopefully that will be the case. Again, elders and deacons, we'll talk about that a bit on this Monday. And then again, the next Monday, the first Monday in March, we'll make a final decision. But at least at the moment, we think we'll be able to meet in person again starting March the 7th, Lord willing. So please keep that in mind. And again, we pray for all of our folks who are facing this terrible disease. And we're grateful for those who've recovered and those who are fighting it at the moment. Let's bow together. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the ways that you bless us, and we're grateful for the blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus, for the joy and hope and peace that we have, and for the fact that indeed you are in charge of this universe, this fallen world in which we live. We ask your special blessings upon Terry Lampas. She has this stress test. We pray that all will go well for her, and those heart problems could be solved. We're mindful of those of our number who are recovering from COVID, Don Bibby, Edna Kane, Geneva Crum, Rose Hose. We pray especially that you'd be with James and Dolores King, and especially with Charles Sams. We're mindful of his struggle, and we pray you'd be with him and be with Nancy as well. Give her strength and courage. Be with us this day. Again, we're grateful for our blessings, and we pray you'd be with us this week. Help us to be a light for you in this world. Help us as a church to make a difference in the community around us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.